my vote doesn't count,
right.
as you say, is a common misperception.
Correct.
Is that actually a misperception in your view? Because there are a lot of Americans right now. I don't know how closely you've been following, maybe, for example, Greg Palast's work on the electoral irregularities.
I've read his books.
In Florida. He's now saying that up to a million mostly Democratic votes were not counted in the last U.S. federal election, and primarily in Florida. And as you know, I think in the end, that state, which pretty much, I'm going to use the quote marks, won the election for George Bush,
yeah.
was it what would have been, in fact, had the votes been tabulated properly, a landslide almost for Al Gore.
Right.
So in this context, and I know that I certainly am not aware of that kind of electoral fraud going on to such on such a grandiose scale in Canada.
Neither am I.
But could it be argued that an individual vote might not make a difference? Do you reject that notion as
I think that if you're going to go about living your days living in fear that your vote's not going to get counted because someone's committing fraud or that, you know, someone is going to miscounting it, if you go into the process of voting with that in mind, you're not really starting off on the right foot, you know, just in general. Yes, of course that's possible. But, we don't really have a history of that in Canada. I don't even think the United States has a history of that. That happened in that state during that election. It may have happened in other times in the past that we're not aware of, but there, you know, people are counting the votes, and people, I mean, in Florida, it was a weird situation because it was a Chad thing, and there was, you know, it was confusing in some districts as to, like, how the candidates were lined up. Yes, I think in the States, it's a little bit more complicated.
But also, I'm sure you would argue if you were living in America right now that despite that, it's more important than ever to go out and vote in this fall's election because, heaven forbid, you'd have another 4 years of the guy they've got now.
Yes, I would encourage everyone to vote in Canada and the U.S.
The next point on your list is the system is fundamentally flawed. But as a person who encourages people to vote, is it safe to assume that you feel that the system, flawed as it may be, can be reformed?
I think it can be reformed. I think, I mean, that list of on our website of why to vote, we're speaking to a young generation that is not just disengaged in the political process, but that's you know, straight out apathetic. They don't like being told what to do. They don't respond to rah-rah, get out and vote advertising. So we've taken a different approach to why we should vote, and use some, I guess you'd call it negative psychology. So in that case,
you would agree that the system is flawed.
Yes, I would.
Clearly.
But it doesn't mean that we, you know, you can't start fixing the system if you're totally disengaged by the system.
What would you say to people who would suggest that the system is far beyond reform?
I'd say that's, you're entitled to your opinion. That, you know, I'd say that's a defeatist way of looking at things. And I'd say look at the government in Canada, compared to 90% of the other of the governments around the world, and it's pretty cozy here in Canada, and the government treats us well, even though we have all these scandals. Comparatively, the government treats us pretty well. So I'm trying. You know, people are negative and apathetic and disengaged. We're trying to, you know, we agree with a lot of the reasons people don't vote, but it's still not clear to people why they should vote. And so we're using those reasons of why, you know, why we don't vote to illustrate to people, well, now's a good reason to vote. In fact, your vote does count. Every time you vote, money goes to the party you're voting for. Now, that person you vote for might not get in because your riding is dominated by Liberals or the Bloc Québécois or whoever, but your vote does count. The party you vote for will get money. I think it's $1.75, actually.
That point that you mentioned, that the party will get money, was recently seriously threatened. I mean, the current government tried to pass legislation which would have made that completely not true. And I believe that one of the minor parties, possibly the Communist Party, launched a lawsuit that got that changed.
Mm-hmm.
But the current Liberal government actually tried to do away with that system.
Right.
Are you aware of any
I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. You know,
but that's something you could conceivably be voting for, were you to vote Liberal, and were that not to be deemed by a panel of appointed Supreme Court judges to be unconstitutional, which
correct.
Is, I'm assuming, how they got around that.
Correct. You are correct in saying that.
So you'd want to be very careful about who you vote for. And since I was going to ask you about the minor parties, it seems you've addressed that already.
We've reached out to all the parties,
mm-hmm.
The minor parties included. We haven't gotten the rousing response you'd expect. We're willing to advertise their messages on our site for free with the same amount of space as a Liberal Party or an NDP or a Conservative Party or a Bloc Québécois. We're still awaiting some of their responses. But we're in contact with all the political parties. That's something that's different about our initiative compared to all the other youth vote initiatives across the country.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually dialoguing with the political parties, all of them, to get them to cooperate with us.
How do you feel about some of the suggested election reforms? For example, I was thinking of the system in Australia where they have a mandatory voting.
Get a fine if you don't vote.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's a great way. I think it's a great tactic.
Can't you see a scenario where that might make people even more cynical?
Yes, I do see that. But you know what? If people are forced to vote, I think that they're more inclined to go out and like educate themselves about what the people who are running, for the leadership of this country stand for, or if they're so, disengaged and disillusioned, but they don't want to pay their fine, they can go, screw their ballot.
Right, spoil.
Spoil their ballot, exactly.
Do you know statistically how often that happens in Australia, or?
I actually don't, but I would imagine it's probably a fairly small number, but probably. That is a political statement. So there are people who do that.
Mm-hmm. In fact, there are people who are on the side of the non-voting argument that would still urge you to go and actively non-vote.
And actively spoil your ballot. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We're trying to take a little bit more of a constructive approach. We have a political system here that has problems. You can either reject it entirely and be angry, or you can engage in it and personally put pressure on politicians, personally write letters. It's not to say that things are going to happen to change overnight, but there's two approaches. The people who encourage people not to vote, that is their political statement. They don't want to have anything to do with the political process, and they're not really contributing to a constructive society.
Well, actually, you know what? A lot of people who are on the anti-voting side would argue exactly the opposite.
I'm sure they would.
And that is that there are, I think the argument would go that there are more democratic ways of participating in society. I know people who are on the non-voting side who would say that they would happily go to a protest, they would happily write a letter and advocate on behalf of somebody or a cause to a politician.
Yeah.
And that voting, in fact, is one person said, the most passive
right.
Method of participating in democracy. In fact, I've even talked to people who say that the choice between lesser evils is more of a threat to society than a solution to its ills.
Well,
because I just don't think it's fair to paint all of the people who would encourage you not to vote as people who would discourage people from
right.
participating in democracy in perhaps ways that are far less passive.
I hear where you're coming from. Voting is probably not one of the most active ways of participating in the democracy,
mm-hmm.
But it is a way that everyone is entitled to. And I think it's not a bad first step for young people who are not just disengaged, but know nothing about where everyone stands or even perhaps who's even running. It's an easy introduction. It's not such a huge thing to go vote. And it's on our side. It's very, very easy. And I think that most people who have never voted and are thinking now, well, maybe I'll vote because it's time for me to participate in the democracy and it's time for me to, make sure that my voices are heard, then the voting process, however passive it might appear, is not a bad first step. And I'm not, we're not going to be making radical changes overnight. But I think it's a good first step. And if you're of the mindset that, you know, the option of picking the lesser of evils is really not a very good option, well, look a little closer, because there are other political parties on the spectrum besides the four that we hear about every day.
And I can appreciate that you don't want to go into detail because you have to because you're a nonpartisan organization.
We're nonpartisan, yeah.
And so you don't want to be seen to be advocating one position over the
other. We're not really an initiative that's taking sort of an advocacy approach to this, but rather I see us more as an educational approach.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask you about next, now that we've gone through a little bit of the rhetoric that gets thrown around about voting.
Sure.
What kind of activities is your group engaged in to encourage people to vote?
To be honest with you, we have no money. Everyone who's working on this project is doing the work in kind. So we don't have the resources to hold huge events, to educate people, to have targeted events with MPs. We are speaking with all the political parties, and we have more of a post-election strategy to continue, you know, our mission to re-engage youth in democracy. So we're actually, right now, what are we doing? We're providing information on our site on how to vote and why to vote. We will be also offering some information on where to vote. So I'm in this district, and I don't know where to go. So you'll be able to access that information on our site. We've created some alliances with some musicians across the country, and we are in the process of sending out what are called e-cards, and they're basically like electronic flyers to try to get the fans of those artists to come to our site. Most of our activity is online, very strategic marketing campaign. We've been doing a lot of coalition building with different associations across the country who can get our message out. And so that's been primarily online with links and with e-cards. And then offline, we do have some gear, some buttons. So in terms of like branding ourselves and trying to get our name out there, we're doing a lot of what I guess you'd call public relations, where we sent out 2,200 press releases today. We really are just trying to create a buzz right now. We don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of money. We've written a letter to the Prime Minister asking him to hold the election off until the fall so that we can discuss the issues. It was originally on the right-hand column of the site.
I'll have another look at that. We should mention it's www.apathyisboring.com.
Correct.
Yes, okay.
We got a response from the Prime Minister that we will be posting on our site in the next couple of days.
Okay.
What else are we doing? We're doing a lot of coalition building right now.
That's just an interesting approach with the letter, because a lot of people that I have that I've talked to have also got the feeling that in Canada we have an unelected head of state, and a lot of people for that reason would have wanted an election as soon as possible, pretty much ever since he was appointed or selected as prime minister, certainly not elected in any way.
Right.
Was that a concern for you?
We really want to get youth involved, A. B, we want to help youth tell the government and why the political system needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
We need to discuss the issues. And we don't get to do that because of the history of snap elections in the country. So we would have really preferred to have a few months of campaigning and some targeted peer groups and events with the politicians themselves. They do them from time to time. But there's 7 million people under 35, and 25% of them are voting, and most of them are voting because most of the people who aren't voting because they're apathetic and disengaged or don't trust the political process or the political leaders themselves. And so there needs to be a dialogue that's constructive.
And I think people on either side of the debate of whether to vote or not would be discouraged by apathy.
Yeah, and what you're seeing now is you're seeing apathy, not just in the younger generations, but in the older generations, because longtime liberal voters or supporters are, you know, angry about the sponsorship scandal.
Longtime conservative voters.
Conservatives are angry because of the merge of the Alliance and the Tories. So people are pretty disgruntled.
I think actually things might be looking pretty good for the NDP in the next federal election.
Probably. But it really depends on how, you know, the liberals and the conservatives and all the other parties play their cards, and also how they address this demographic, because there's 7 million people, and voting is, you know, there's a lot of people who aren't going to vote, but, I mean, imagine if 7 million people went out to vote, it would change the results dramatically.
Certainly. Do you think that there's a political party that's done a better job than the others of reaching out to younger voters? I mean, so far, I know the campaign is still fairly young, but...
Not really. I don't think that any of them have done a very good job. I think that the Green Party is probably doing the most work with the fewest resources, but I don't think any of them have done a very effective job, no.
And there are parts, certainly, of the Green Party platform that would be very hard to sell to people of any age group. I just think off the top of my head, they want to increase the federal tax on gasoline by 10 cents, which I am personally...
opposed to.
Oh, I'm personally in favor of.
Oh, you're in favor of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think the higher priced gasoline is, the less cars on the road, the better it is for those of us who like to breathe.
Right.
I think that such a plan actually is pretty progressive.
Well, they are a very progressive party, there's no question.
But I think that's a hard sell, particularly to young people who are bombarded by messages of this car is cool and this SUV looks great. And
you're right. And that's why the Green Party is a quote-unquote fringe party, because they do have more radical stances on things.
Well, there are countries in the world where they have the balance of power.
No question about it. I mean, you look at places like Scandinavia.
Germany,
different, you know, different culture, different political system, different values.
Have you heard anything encouraging from any of the other minor parties?
I haven't heard very much at all from some of the Marxist-Leninist Party or the Communist Party or the Marijuana Party. We've reached out to all of them in equal fashion, mm-hmm. and we're operating now with a different level of cooperation with each party.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a little bit disappointed, actually, in those parties, because we were and are still offering them a space to reach a lot of Canadians with equal amount of space as any other party that has a lot more money than them and a lot more, you know, supporters. So yeah, we've had limited, you know, the contact with them has been, I mean, of course, I'm sure their resources are stretched, but we're asking for like 300 words or less from each party. Our site is going to continue to evolve up until the election. We will have more information there as the election approaches. But also what's key to our initiative is that we are not going away after the election. We are building alliances with the political parties, building alliances with youth groups across the country, news networks, music, TV, film, arts organizations. And we are hoping to create a sustainable dialogue between youth and politicians directly through our website.
Okay.
Through forums where there's active involvement. Things will be obviously we'll be marketing these forums and these town halls that we are hoping to have across the country post-election.